Depending on which island you call home, anywhere from 60 to 75% of your electricity is generated by the burning of oil. In 2008, the price of a barrel of crude oil hit a record-setting high of $147. That's a long way from the current price of $55 per barrel. Those two facts got one of our listeners, Arthur Park, thinking, and he called our talkback line.
This is Arthur Park. I'm calling to suggest a program about the high cost of electricity in Hawaii. Why are we the highest in the country? Why is it that most of our energy is coming from oil and the price dropped from $150 to $50? There was no reduction in the bills here. Or if there was, it sure wasn't noticeable.
We called on Henry Curtis, Executive Director of Life of the Land, to get some help explaining this phenomenon, and Henry's with us in our studio. Henry, you've had opportunities to ponder this, I'm sure.
Aloha, Chris. Yes, first, most islands have been powered by oil, whereas across the country, most power is coming from coal and natural gas. So we have a different mix, mm-hmm. And when the price of oil is low, then our prices are lower, and when the price of oil is higher, then our prices go higher. So it's hard to measure Hawaii against mainland states, which are very different, mm-hmm. And rather we should be measuring against islands.
What islands are operating in an ideal, or close to ideal, energy-efficient manner?
Well, we were just at the Caribbean Renewable Energy Forum, and there was a presentation of Jamaica, where they've now signed a contract for solar at 8.5 cents per kilowatt hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so the price of solar is really dropping. Kauai recently signed a contract, KIUC, Kauai Island Utility Co-op, for 11 cents per kilowatt hour for solar combined with storage.
Mm-hmm. So there are things we could be doing in Hawaii that we're not.
We could be doing. One of the problems is we have long-term contracts with existing power companies that were perhaps great at that time, but no longer reflect the current reality prices. So part of it is what you lock yourself into.
Mm-hmm.
And another part is that in Hawaii, we have never fully appreciated the value of solar distributed on people's homes and in communities.
There's plenty of irony to that, isn't there?
There is plenty of irony, and Hawaii allows new utilities to exist on the footprints of existing utilities. So somebody can come in, for example, into a community and establish solar and batteries and start selling power locally, bypassing the traditional utility.
Why isn't that sector more robust than it is?
I think we're going to be seeing it pop up in the very near future. I think it scares the bejesus out of both the utility and the traditional regulators to see a totally new model on the horizon.
Why wouldn't it be in the interests of the utility and the regulators to see prices go down and ups to operate and, you know, get away from fossil fuels? It's everyone's stated intention.
It's stated intention, except for the fact that most of the generators are fossil fuel-based, so apparently it's not everybody's intention. Fossil fuel-based owners like those units. Hawaiian Electric has a lot of them, and replacing their generators with other people's renewable energy generators may sound good to a lot of people, but not to the utility, which is stuck on using its existing fossil fuel generators.
As a utility, doesn't it have, you know, a responsibility?
It has a responsibility to do a lot of things, provide reliable power, supply a mix of resources to meet different times, to lower costs. There are many competing interests, and so they're sort of really in competition with each other.
But at the same time, we've got, you know, the governor has declared that Hawaii aspires to energy independence. All the rhetoric we hear from practically everyone talks about moving away from fossil fuels. You're talking about an institutional opposition to it.
I am really hesitant to support things like 100% RPS in 2045. Hawaii does not use a standard definition of percentage. We don't use a reasonable definition of renewable energy. And I found ways of showing how an island can be 100% dependent on fossil fuel and yet have a renewable portfolio standard of 2 trillion percent renewable. So the idea that we can be 100% renewable in 2045, we can do it solely on coal. That's because of the screwed up definitions we use. We can be entirely oil dependent and yet 100% renewable. It makes no sense at all, but that's embedded in state law.
That sounds completely contradictory, Henry.
Well, it's contradictory except if you think that there are two messages. One is what's in the law that everybody has to do, and the other is what you sell to the public. So we're selling to the public 100% renewable in 2045, but we're not actually placing the laws in that would enable that to occur.
You're describing a landscape in which the public is routinely deceived, aren't you?
Deceived would be one way of expressing it. Another way of expressing it would be that lobbyists have far more weight than the public at the legislature. The number of public advocates has been decreasing each year at the legislature, whereas the lobbyists meet in back rooms. They don't publicly testify. They make sweetheart deals. So we have a system that it needs dramatic overhaul.
Somebody out there is going to disagree with this. I mean, disagree with this characterization. And say that it's in all our interests to have renewable energy, and we're all working in that direction. Don't you hear that?
If we were all working in that direction, we would have had it 10 years ago. We are not all. There are people who say one thing and do another thing. There are huge blocks of people who want to see the system that we have. For example, right now, the electric company is supposed to be 100% renewable in 2045. There are no restrictions whatsoever on the gas company. The gas company imports gas, imports liquefied natural gas. There is not one law on the books that says they have to move at all towards renewable energy. Currently, the gas company is 98% fossil fuel based.
So we're really getting a pretty, it sounds as if we're getting a pretty deceptive picture of our energy future.
We are moving much faster than anybody else on having rooftop solar. We're moving a lot faster than a lot of other places on wind and solar in the community. But moving in that direction does not say that you're reducing greenhouse gases. It does not say you're reducing costs. And it does not say that we're reaching the needed goal of 100% renewable energy.
Much more to be learned here than I, for one, had figured. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Chris.
Henry Curtis is the executive director of Life of the Land, a Hawaii-based nonprofit, environmental and community action, public interest group.